To Johnny's podcast.
Hello.
You're welcome to the Two Johnnies podcast, bringing you all the mayhem and news from the world of the Two Johnnies.
It's Misha, Shawnee B.
Oh, it's Misha, Johnny Smacks. Welcome to podcast 161, coming to you like Tyke Furlong after devouring a plate of spuds. On this week's podcast, we chat to satirist Oliver Callan about his days driving to school in a tractor and mimicking the likes of Danny Healy-Ray and Mary Lou MacDonald.
He says the only two things in life that make it worth living is fast-paced hurling and firm-feeling women.
Woo!
Noel Furlong will be here with the news.
3 years of podcasting and we still haven't been sued. Thanks to this woman, Maureen is here with her mystery topic.
And as traditional as your mother making you strip off and try on clothes in the middle of the shop, she would be looking at you. Try it on there now, this minute. We bring you our Yurts and Dirts of the Week, which are kindly sponsored by the great lads over at Apple Green.
Hon Apple Green, before commencing with proceedings, matters arising from last week's podcast.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, last week we were talking about conspiracy theories and we got a whole bucket load of correspondence we can't read out. But one person has been in touch talking about QAnon, and yet the person who sent it in remains anonymous. Who could it be?
It was Donald Trump.
Well, boys, I heard you talking about the QAnon stuff this morning, and I have to tell you, in my opinion, this stuff is absolutely poisonous. It's not just America anymore. It's all over the world because of social media. I have someone close to me that nearly lost their feckin' mind with this stuff and was going, abandoning her family to go to America to, and I quote, help fight the war, and thought they were decoding Q's messages online. There's a subpage on Reddit for people who've actually lost family members to it, and some of it is heartbreaking. It's more widespread than you think, and these people are absolutely indoctrinated. It's like a cult, proper cult. Every time Trump doesn't do something, they move the goalposts. Mad world we're living in at the moment. But it's important people don't believe the news and muck they see on social media. All these anti-maskers and anti-vaccine heads are the same. Now, I have to say, I don't want to just bunch everyone together.
Yeah, we can't tar them all with the one brush.
Yeah, I'm not going to say that people who were out protesting the end of lockdown like definitely believe that Donald Trump can time travel. It's quite the wide spectrum, and this is part of the reason that we're having such friction and why Facebook is an absolutely crazy place to be nowadays. Wild.
Just talking about cults, man, I've always been scared of cults. Because as a young lad, my mother used to watch Fair City and I used to watch it with her. And then a young lad in it called Stephen got taken away in a cult.
Did he?
That's scary. But the scariest part was the way your man talked who ran the cult. He just kept being like, come with us, Stephen. And I was like, that's the scariest fucking voice I've ever heard. So I'm still scared of that lad from the cult.
Right.
Stephen got out of the cult. Maliki got him out, lad.
Okay.
Yeah, Maliki was a priest at the thing.
Right.
Yeah, just, there you go. Useless information for all our listeners.
So the moral of the story is, yeah, be careful on Facebook. Right. Yeah. And Twitter.
And mind the cults.
Yes.
That's cults now, no? I didn't say anything else there. When the cults.
Hurry up, you cult, will you?
You're some fucking cult. Okay, back to something more to Johnny's podcast. On Mara's mystery topic, dick sizes, Pat said, in relation to the topic, I'd be man enough to admit I'm not blessed with a whopper of a wang, but by fuck is it functional and efficient. 3 kids, all planned, bang, over the bar. Read me name out if you want. I couldn't care less, from Pat Mac. Pat Mac does not give a shukra.
Orla also got in touch. I used to work as a sexual health nurse in the UK, and believe me, men are obsessed with altering their manhoods.
Ooh.
There was the one who came in after taking some herbal remedies to increase the volume of jizz. Why? I don't know. But when it didn't work, he wanted to see if it could, if he could get anything on the NHS.
How does that go? Like, you walk into your like, you know, your local GP and just say, well, what's wrong with you today? Look, I'm looking for an absolute bucket load.
Yeah, I feel like it's not impressive enough when it hits the wall.
Yeah, I'm talking scary movie job here.
Oh, God. You know, like if it hurt, if like a murder of crows, do it on your car. That's what I'm looking for.
I'm talking fire extinguisher job here, yeah. Right?
Come on.
Come on, pal.
Anyway, another guy had done a stint in a Romanian prison. He came in with dry skin on his, you know, I had to have a look and I never saw anything like it. Skin was grand, but there were these lumps, like the clips of a button, along the shaft that I had never seen before. I told him he needed a doctor's review. He tried to explain that there was nothing to be worried about in broken Romanian English, but I had to get it checked. As a nurse, if you start seeing funny lumps, you could be thinking cancer. So in strolls the doctor, has a quick glance at your man's and says, "Oh, an ex-inmate, all looks good," and sends him on his way. I thought he was going mad because what I saw did not look good. The doctor told me that under the skin, bead implants are all the rage in the Romanian prisons. Worth the Google search, lads. Permanently ribbed for pleasure. Wow.
Jesus Christ. You're making me like a foam roller.
Yeah. In general, guys are obsessed with their junk. At least once a day, you'd have some guy stroll in saying, "It hurts when I do this," then pull at themselves like Stretch Armstrong. I could have recorded myself saying, "Then just stop doing that," and played it on repeat to them all. Got good crack all the same. Love the show and leave your willies alone, lads. And then she has attached a photo of a man who has under the skin bead implants, but luckily on his arm, not on his junk.
And I have to be honest, it's making me feel sick looking at his arm.
He's got loads of lumps under his arm that have been inserted.
They're like marbles.
Yeah.
That's what they look like. It looks like this lad has just got a load of marbles stuck under
his
skin.
If you came home with that under your arm, your mother would be clattering the head off you.
Yeah. Oh my God, that is scary. Lads, just live yourselves alone. Sharon also emailed, "Mars, Mr. Topic and penis size resonated with lots of memories of my early days as a student nurse."
Damn.
Take that whatever way you will. I don't know if this
That's
is.
What he said.
I don't know if this is true work or play. I don't know. On the ward I was working on, I had the pleasure of looking after a gentleman who had travelled outside of Ireland for a penis enlargement. Unfortunately, on his return to Ireland, his enlargement became infected, causing penile shaft swelling and deformity.
No!
Not two words I think any man wants to hear in their lifetime. The gentleman in question was so mortified he rarely left the cubicle and requested only males to examine him. As this is not always possible, I was sent in to daily clean and inspection.
Oh, Jesus.
As a nurse, we see and examine all different shapes and sizes without any issue, but the deformation of the shaft shocks even me. Moral of the story is, leave your willies alone, no matter the shape or size. Hashtag no shaft swelling.
The nurses, give them all a raise. All the money they want.
There's no money in the world to pay someone for that.
No, I don't care about COVID. You want to do that, like?
Yeah. Oh God, imagine.
Sinead was in touch about kids.
Sorry, I don't know. Did I ever tell the story of?
Oh, here we go.
The time I went.
Got my penis enlarged.
No. I got a urinary tract infection.
Okay.
And your man like made a fucking deal out of it in the pharmacy. Like, I was like, look, just give me out a bit of Cystic Pure, and he was like, this is very uncommon with men. And then he was like, are you having unprotected sex? I was like, yeah, but just with me missus, like, you know. And he was like, oh, you need to go and see a doctor. I was like, oh, fucking sweat was beating out me then. Yeah. And like, I thought I'd just tell the doctor, like, what the crack was. Like, you know, look, I have a urinary tract infection. She gave me a couple of tablets and we're sorted.
Okay.
So I just pulled up, like, I had a long pair of pajamas on, like, big check pajamas, right? And I was like, I'll just fucking pull a pair of tracks bottoms up over this. I can't be arsed.
Yeah.
And went into the doctor, right? And then she was like, could I see the penis? I was like, oh, shit. Because, right, my pajamas were old, right? So I had just tied a knot in them. And it's very hard to get the pajamas on or off. Like, you'd be wriggling in and out of them. Like. They were old pajamas, right? I should have just thrown them out or cut the string. And when the doctor was like, can I see you? I couldn't get my pajamas down.
So what do you mean you couldn't get it down?
It was, like, so tight, the string. And the string was knotted.
And you couldn't get it?
I couldn't unknot it. Like, it has never been unknotted, like, since the day I bought the pajamas. And, like, I just put on a bit of weight and I was, like, trying to wriggle down the pants. I was like, fucking hell. And then eventually I got it down far enough that I could just, like, flick me really out over the top of it. Like, and yeah. She just looked and was like, look, you're fine. You have urine tract, whatever. But, like, I was getting so nervous that, like, me really was just shrinking. Like, it was nearly gone. Like, in the end, I was going to go, do you know what? It turns out I don't even have a willy.
For a minute. Did she give you a prescription for new pajamas?
I looked at the description. It just said, go into Penny's, get yourself a new pair of love.
Cop yourself on.
That was definitely oversharing on my behalf. Didn't see that coming.
Great, great stuff there. Kids. Children.
Wow.
On the topic of children. Sinead was in touch saying, I'm sitting down having the dinner and I said, I'll throw on your podcast with Marty Moan. Great idea, Sinead. And you were recalling the story of the lad who was at the All-Ireland final and was making his way home to Cork, and then he was sleeping in the car park at a Horse and Jockey, etc., etc. We all remember this story. I had to stop it short as my 9-year-old daughter walked in and started asking me, "Mammy, what's a blowjob?" Any suggestions how I get out of this one? I couldn't think of an answer quick enough with the fright, so I told her I didn't know, that it must be a word the two Johnnies made up, and that I'd text you to find out what it meant and tell her. That was all well and good till my mother rang on the landline and my daughter told her I was on my mobile to the two Johnnies asking about a blowjob. I don't know who got the bigger fright, me or the mother, but she's still looking for an explanation, so I'm relying on you for that. Well, it's difficult, because if you tell her something, she could go around reciting it.
Yes, I would just...
It's in the Adult Olympics.
Yeah, there you go, yeah, the blowjob. Yeah, it's part of the decathlon or something. Jesus, I don't know. I feel really bad. Anyway, on pets.
Headphones, get headphones. Get yourself headphones. There you go.
On pets, Dubai Dub 16 emailed the pod. I was working as a dog trainer in Dubai for the last 6 years and I've seen some mad shit. Anyway, I was training dogs for members of the royal family. One day I headed to the palace to train two German Shepherd puppies. As I got to the gate overlooking the garden and sea, I spotted two Filipino lads chasing what looked like a big dog. And then I saw another lad chasing them with a gun.
Wow.
It's like something of a cartoon. With that, I got pulled into the garden to help these lads catch the wolf, inverted commas. Little did I know they were chasing an actual grey wolf with a tranquilizer gun. He'd escaped from an enclosure they had. They wanted me to help catch it for them, but I said, fuck that lad. I'm a mad bastard from Dublin. I'm not trying to take down a wolf in Dubai. Needless to say, I never did find out if they got them. P.S. Johnny B., if you need any help with Goujon, let me know.
Thanks very much.
A good dog trainer, bad at catching wolves.
Bad at catching, yeah, we don't have many wolves around here. My dog is still eating everything.
Yeah?
Yeah, bit of a foot fetish going on.
Ooh.
We got a new plant. We got some plants for the garden.
Okay.
And then there was one we weren't sure where to plant it, so we'll just leave that there now for the day and see, and then came back the next day and it was completely gone.
he's a vegan, so he's on the plants.
Yeah. Oh, no, he'd eat them. He's a freegan. An anonymous listener got in touch. I was driving on the road in County Antrim a few weeks ago and I spotted a massive wire fence beside this house. Looking closer, I saw a massive cat walking up to the edge of the fence. I shouted to the person driving, "Look, a feckin' tiger!" But we just passed it. It had gone out of sight and he didn't see it. He refused to believe me until I persuaded him to turn around the car and go back for a look. Couldn't see it, and then just as we're about to pull off again, who came walking around the fence? Only the biggest tiger I've ever seen.
Wow.
So there you have it. Some mad bastard in County Antrim has a tiger strolling out the back of their house. Please keep me anonymous because I don't know the legality of owning a pet tiger in the north, and I don't want to land someone in trouble, and I don't want to be grassing someone in. If you don't believe me, there's video evidence can be provided of the tiger strolling up down the fence.
Wow. Wow.
What's the story like?
Why do people have tigers?
I suppose the price of dogs has gone up in lockdown. On Round Dodgers, this topic is rearing its ugly head again. One person says, a good few years ago now, I was going out with a lad and we fell into a regular dinner date type thing with friends. Some couples, some singletons. Not everyone wanted to just go drinking. So the mix suited everyone. Anyway, I'll get to the point. I can hear Johnny B giving out as I write this. No, we weren't swingers. When it came to paying the bill, one couple would always pay by card. No one thought anything weird of it. Well-respected professional couple, why would you? We almost all used to pay by cash and we gave a tip too, as we were usually went to the same place every time. I'm not sure how it got discovered, but suspicion started to arise and one single guy in the group decided to confront the couple. It turned out that they would take the cash meant for paying the meal, as the tip usually covered the price of their meal, and then all they had to pay for was a small difference. So they would pay for everyone's meal, take the cash, but the cash included a tip, and then the tip that they were paying on the card was significantly reduced.
Wow.
That's pure evil.
That is fucking just tax dodging. That's what that is for.
that is, possibly, yes. Yeah. But that's pure evil. So the tip then that the staff were getting
was shit.
Was shit. And there was a whole group of them thinking they were leaving great tips.
Oh, lads.
Isn't that disgusting? Outrageous.
Outrageous. Split bills, man. That's what you want to be doing. Split. Do you ever go up and ask someone to split a bill?
Oh, some people freak out.
The staff are like, oh, fucking, come on, I'm a waiter, man. Please don't do this to me. Like, just pay the fucking bill, will you? How many of you are 11? And we just wondering, can you split 11 ways? Like, a lot of places, actually, the restaurant have signs up. We don't split bills.
Really?
Mm. Yeah.
I'm a just give the cash. I don't care, man.
Yeah. So leave it be someone else's problem.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like your style. Unwriting Pod.
Hi, Podge Bye.
Podge emailed the pod. Was listening to one of your podcasts in my room when the girlfriend came over. We were going for a takeaway a while Saturday night during lockdown, but things got a bit hot and heavy before we left.
Aye, aye.
Never been to Oz, but I was giving her an old Australian kiss when Noel's news came on.
Why? Why?
I don't know why people do this. I feared what might happen next, but was too busy to stop and say, hey Google, turn off my room speaker. So as I'd expected, Noel had me in stitches, but I kept going like the trooper I am, holding my laughter in the best I could. I looked up at the woman and she had her hand over her mouth holding in the moans, or so I thought. Next thing I know, she lets out a roar of laughter at one of Noel's comments and frightened the life out of me. There was no recovering from that. We ended up listening to the rest of the podcast and just went and got food. My girlfriend had never heard the podcast before. Shameful, I know. But she can't wait to get started. So Noel cost me the ride, but got you a new follower. That is exactly what we aim for on this podcast.
Fair trade. Yeah.
You couldn't be doing something when something funny's on. Even on telly. Like.
What?
Like, I wouldn't be able to do, like, you know, bedroom stuff. Yeah. While, like, The Office is on or something. No. It'd catch me attention and I'd be just looking at it and then, like, start laughing. Like. Is that good for you? It's great.
But you know, like, you know the stereotypical, like porno music is kind of like, you know, bow, chicka, wow,
no,
wow.
No words.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's like studying. Can't have any words in the songs.
Just want some chilled out beats.
Boom, boom.
Accusations of necrophilia and camembert fetishes.
Oh, yes.
This is the saga that keeps on giving. So if you remember a couple of weeks ago, Emer emailed the pod with a story about a weird couple of dates and a man who she thought had kind of a fetish for going to funerals and dead people. He then got in touch to defend himself and kind of accused Emer. Well, not accused is a bit strong, but
he said, he did. He accused her of licking camembert off his willy. Camembert cheese. He said she melted it and she digested it.
And she dealt it, right?
Yeah.
So Emer has been back in touch to defend herself with her side of the tale. She said, I think it's time to provide the unvarnished truth regarding the recent correspondence. I will hold my hands up and admit I may have slightly embellished the mortuary element to my tale. 'Twas all in good humour for comedic effect. No good, Emer. We want hard facts here.
Yeah, we don't want lies here, Emer.
The camembert Mickey story from our dear friend last week had little to no truth in it. I will reveal, I am partial to some warm camembert. It is a versatile cheese as cheeses go. But I assure you, breadsticks are the only form of stick I have dipped in the delight. I promise you, I am not an eccentric cheese fetish kind of gal. Funny he should mention how my enhancing of the story was like something out of a Stephen King novel, because his tendencies in the bedroom were both horror and science fiction simultaneously.
Ow!
What? What is that, Emer? What is that? He admitted to downplay his fixation with attending funerals. I firmly stand by this fact. RIP.ie remains to be one of his most visited websites. I can confirm he attended a paltry total of 4 funerals in the 2 months that we were in contact. Not an extremely impressive number, but he confessed the restrictions had impacted his spontaneous funeral crashing. Okay, so Donald,
I'm hiring a private detective.
I want to get to the bottom of this.
Yeah.
Donald, we need to get back in touch because she has said that your tendencies in the bedroom were horror and science fiction simultaneously. What does she mean? And Donald, in the previous year when there was no restrictions, how many funerals did you go to?
Like, 4 funerals in 2 months isn't that bad.
Well, it depends if you know the people or not. It's bad if you don't know them.
Yeah. Okay, fair enough. But you could know 4 people who died in 2 months.
Yes, unfortunately.
Unfortunately.
Right. Maura, who do you like for the mug?
I think the mother who has to explain to her child what a blowjob is, like, I love that you're looking for, she's looking for you two to offer an explanation. So
we have no explanation.
I don't think we can give her an explanation, but we can give her a mug.
Yes, yeah. Here's
yeah.
a mug.
Yeah, the blowjob mug. So, blowjob mammy.
Sinead.
Blowjob mammy, you yeah. have won the Two Johnnies mug, which is kindly sponsored by KC Sports, who sell all the lovely Two Johnnies merchandise. So just drop an email, podcast@thetwojohnnies.ie, and Maura got all your mugs. So Maura, we should have loads of more mugs going out this week, yeah?
Yeah, so all good. Yeah. yeah. Everybody's kind of caught up at this stage. So yeah.
Sweet, nice one. Good all
to right,
know.
The weekly yeah. roundup. What's been going on, John Boy?
Oh, John Boy, big news.
Have you... Oh, our marquee is rescheduled.
Yes, we'll start with that. The marquee has been rescheduled to the 28th of May, 2022. So next May. Mm. And we're assured. Listen, if we have to put the fucking tent up ourselves, right? And just put the show. That show's going ahead. That show, I don't care if I have to wipe the government out. I am willing and not able, but we'll put a tent in the backyard and put 4,000 people in it if we have to, unofficially.
Yeah, correct.
That marquee date's going ahead, put in the diary. We released an extra few tickets. The last time I checked, there was 4 individual tickets left. I'd say they're probably gone by now.
So watch this space. It's hard to know what to do with tour dates, but we have a plan.
Mm-hmm.
To be honest, I can't see like any gigs going ahead this year.
No, I'll be honest. To be honest, I'd say the next time we put foot or step foot on stage will probably be the marquee.
Yes. Yeah. Other things happening this week. A lot of people said I have acted prematurely, but I have planted my spuds.
Wow. Can I
got a spud horn.
Yeah.
I got a fine Sunday. I got a fine Sunday and I got a spud horn and I planted me spuds and I put it on Instagram and a lot of people were going, man, it's too soon.
Mm.
What if there's frost? And I'm like, yeah, they're down far enough.
Tell people who text you. You're happy enough about it. Now you're a little bit.
This is a zombie story. I'm getting to it.
Okay.
A lot of people replied to me saying my soil looked quite forgiving. It's black soil, well fertilized. I said, I know. And then renowned television gardener Dermot Gavin messaged me. He was admiring my soil. And
you buddies now?
I wouldn't go so far as to say we're buddies.
You're going
to
get him on the pod?
But I think, yeah, I'm going to reach out to my pal D, as I call DG, as I call him, and get him round. I think when restrictions lift, he might come down. We might do a spot of gardening together.
Lovely. How many messages have you exchanged? Like what stage are you at? Are you at like, oh, he sent me like 2 messages on Instagram, or like, have you been like sending memes and stuff?
No, I haven't been sending him memes. We haven't exchanged phone numbers yet, but I feel like we're going to be great friends.
Okay.
he's an outdoorsy kind of guy.
Should I feel worried?
No, I mean, I think your spot as my number one friend is safe.
Okay.
It's more, I mean, the guys at 2 and 3 are they're in big trouble.
They're on thin ice.
Yeah.
Yeah, they are on thin ice.
Or my other friends need to up their game. But when you're in the garden and you're planting my crops, as I like to call them, I also have 2 strawberry plants.
Strawberries?
In the tunnel, yeah.
They only grow in Wexford. I thought you'd know that.
And I have 6 lettuce. Also, 2 little rows of carrots. Now, the carrots are tiny seeds. I had them all planted in about 1 to 1.5 minutes. But afterwards, when you come inside from doing manly work, you kind of have to throw yourself down and go, jeez, you'd be fucked after, wouldn't you? Jeez, I was broke up. And then I put on my wellies, planting the spuds. Mm-hmm. And then you have to do your welly walk. Only farmers and people who wear wellies regularly. And some of my friends from Dublin City reckon that's why they can tell people from the country by their walk.
Okay.
And they reckon that your walk is different if you wear wellies a lot.
Wow.
So farmers out there.
I wouldn't know.
Farmers out there, would you know a man who's used to wearing wellies? You definitely walk a little different wearing wellies.
Yeah.
They're a bit looser than like runners.
Yeah.
I reckon it affects your walk.
Okay.
So, you know what I mean? I felt very manly. It wasn't quite warm enough to take my top off.
Oh, it's not Diet Coke, Adla.
But I refused to wear gloves, even though I probably should have. I just, you know, I wanted to get my hands dirty.
You're never going to have your hands as soft as mine if you continue to work outside in the elements without gloves.
Yeah, but I'm feeling manlier already.
Okay.
Yeah.
And the shaved head and all, you're looking
I feel like I've joined Fight Club or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, I planted a fig tree then and I just...
Wow. Figs.
Yeah, I feel like I want to start a fire with flint and just live off the... I want to hunt something. Later, I'm
going to
go...
Is that why you've got the heating turned off in this room today? Are you going for like a manly vibe? Me and Neil are fucking freezing.
It's an accident. I'm going to go outside and fashion a bow and arrow from the tree and then maybe hunt some deer.
I don't like this road you're going down, man. You're one step away from like... Well, I don't wear clothes now. You know what I mean? You're getting this real earthy and you're going to be like, yeah, so like I just stopped wearing t-shirts, you know, and then the next day it's like, yeah, well, I actually don't wear any clothes now. I'm just a naturist.
It's a bit cold for that.
Yeah. You'll be out the back, not on your only wellies, like, and what's that? A slingshot?
Yeah, just hunting for my prey, you know?
Okay.
Right. Providing for those, my dependents.
Well, I'm just really excited for when lockdown ends that I get to see Dermot Gavin. And you out in the backyard naked, just sewing spuds.
That's probably a little far. I thought maybe a cup of tea. Also, on St. Patrick's Day, lads, tune in. We're going to be on 2FM. We're co-hosting with Jennifer Zamparelli from 9 to 12.
Yeah, two Johnnies and Jen. Yeah. I like it. We're insisting on picking our own songs. 2FM, not so keen on it at the moment. we're working on it.
We have asked them, when's the last time you played the Saw Doctors? And they are really reaching back to try and remember that one.
They laughed and were like, oh, those guys are funny. We were like, listen, we're fucking serious here. When's the last time you played the Saw Doctors? Don't mess us around. This week, lad, while you were sewing, I died a little inside this week. I'm almost 30 and I was like, it's time, you know, really kind of settle down. So I made a big purchase this week.
What?
Hoover.
You bought a new Hoover? Okay.
Cordless.
Wow.
Wireless.
Wow.
Charge it in the wall.
Flash bastard.
Yeah, it's a Dyson. And, you know, I just said, it's time to make that leap.
Right.
Like, me 3 years ago would have went around with kitchen roll cleaning the floor rather than buy a Hoover. You know what I mean? Hoovers are expensive.
Oh, man, a Hoover is about, I'm going to say, like, how many, 100 Jaeger bombs?
Probably, yeah. It's not far off, no. I bought a good Hoover.
120 Jaeger bombs in the gatehouse in Care.
Probably, yeah.
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 Tough
it's
call.
A lot. I bought it and then I was like, whoa, jeez. Do I regret this? But I'm excited for it to come. You know, I love cleaning, so.
Yeah.
Big fucking Dyson it is. Big powerful bastard of you. The only thing is, you only get a half an hour charge, which is great. Who hoovers for longer than a half an hour?
I don't know.
Do you know what I mean? Look, it's kind of, I got it and it's also, you know, present for Annie.
What?
I'm only messing. I do all the hoovering in my house, Mara. I am an independent man. I don't need no woman.
You do need a woman. Well, you need Annie to like nurse you.
Well, I do, yeah, but not to hoover. I'm good. I'm good for the hoover.
Smacks is going to start International Men's Day.
100%. International Hoover Day.
It already exists.
Does what? It?
Just nobody put, yeah.
Men's Day.
International Men's Day. I'll Google it now. Hold on a second.
I want to know when that is.
Yeah, what do you do?
Sit in your arse by.
Okay.
That's the right day for it.
Anyway, thanks so much to everybody who has signed up to our extra podcast on Patreon. This week was episode 51.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. The big dog. The big dog had he say about
it. It's a better clip than this.
No, there's not. It's a great clip.
There's not.
This is a great clip, lad. On last week's extra podcast, number 51, during 30 Seconds of Truth, Johnny B, Mr. Lover, Mr. Boombastic, the ultimate lover, he revealed a detailed account of his performance skills between the sheets, and he also rates himself out of 10 in the bedroom.
I feel like I always bring, you know, intensity.
Okay.
High energy.
This isn't like an interview after a match now, you know. Oh, yeah, look, you know, the lads were great.
Look, I didn't do much scoring, but I did a lot of hooking and blocking. Knowledge base be reasonable.
Okay.
Couldn't say that I'd be an expert in everything.
Right, okay, that's fair enough.
You know, like I wouldn't have a big mad long list of different positions.
Yeah, I thought you were going to say mad long something else, sir.
You know what I mean? So, you know.
Give me a number.
Let's say a respectable 8.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, 10. I don't know what you base that on. Like,
well, like
I mean,
10 being like...
What, she's having screaming orgasms 100% of the time.
Yeah, 10 like she's just fucking... Her skin has fell off.
Afterwards, she's bald.
Our guest is a man who has gone from picking up his Leaving Cert results in a tractor to having his own radio show on RTE. Welcome to the Two Johnnies podcast, Mr. Oliver Callan.
We have so many questions, but one of the ones we wanted to ask you, because you are an impressionist, how do you decide who you're going to impersonate, and then what are your steps to creating that character, to getting that person down? Well, not getting the person down, but you know what I mean? To like, to impersonate them.
That kind of attributes way more thinking to what I do than would actually be the case. I suppose it's kind of like the world decides who we should be taking the piss out of from time to time. And often just people get elected and become Taoiseach and you have 5 minutes to come up with the voice. Which, you know, and particularly it was particularly difficult when Enda Kenny, because he was there for ages. And I was getting worried because it was like 6 years of Enda and I was just trapped in Enda Kenny all the time. And I was just suddenly, people went, there's your man who does Enda Kenny. Yeah. And it was like, you know, and I was going, oh shit, I'm just, what happens when Enda goes? And like, he was such an amazing character. I mean, around equal marriage referendum, it was very clear that Enda Kenny had only heard of homosexuals for the very first time in his life. But so he kept using the term, need to create equal rights and marriage extension for gay people. And it was all the one word. It was like he was just getting comfortable with the idea. Gay people have also a right to get married and to walk down the aisle. Oh God, is that a double entendre as well? But I have a great respect for gay people. And all the gay people in many counties. Gay people are the same in every county. North or south. North or south riding in Tipperary. Oh God, where's my spin people? I need to stop speaking. And then, of course, Leo Varadkar came on the scene and saved my comedy career, quite frankly. Because there was a sweaty couple of months there where I'm going, imagine it's Simon Coveney. Like, it'll be the driest Taoiseach we've ever had.
You just quit comedy.
And thankfully it was Leo, who's a BTW. It's great to speak to where are my notes? We're speaking to Turf Munchers. To the two Seamuses podcast or something. And it's wonderful where you, I mean, that Tipperary is now Ireland's favourite fictional county. So well done to both of you. Bog snorkeling, massy lassie heifer humpers. So well done to all of you. Tibbert Oran, which I think is the Irish for Sidona bread or something like that, because it's obviously the home of horses hurling and cider. Sometimes all three at the same time.
The only on Saturdays.
Drink cider, play hurling. That's my view of Middle Ireland. Yes. So, does that answer your question? Not really.
No, that doesn't explain anything, but it was
not really,
very enjoyable all the same.
But I mean, like, right now I'm kind of, we're about to start Callan's Kicks the 19th of March, and we're kind of looking at, because you have to freshen it up, you know, you kind of new characters in, and somebody who's becoming a sort of a character is Jack Chambers. You know, he's a young fella who sounds like he's about 17, Fianna Fáil, and he's a young Fianna Fáil. So, like, he's only 30, but his hair and his policies are in their 70s, because I'm going to become the Fianna Fáil leader one day. And he sounds exactly like Paul Reid of the HSE, who's everywhere at the moment talking about vaccines, going, not my fault, I'm just from the HSE. Paul Reid / Jack Chambers, same voice, same people. That's why nothing works. It's the same people in Ireland over and over again. Yeah. Tipperary will have 3 vaccines this week, 3 vaccines. So, Molly, you've got 15 minutes to get down the road to get your vaccine. Otherwise, it's going in the bin or a family member's arm. So, does that answer question one? This is going rather well.
This is excellent. This is excellent.
So, we were wondering, does anyone ever take offence to being impersonated?
Well, I suppose they do, but they surely be wise enough not to say it. I mean, like, I don't think the aforementioned Mr. Radker is a huge fan of what we do on the Kicks. And I don't know. I'm not sure Mary Lou is either, so just to provide a little bit of balance. But whereas actually I had heard back from someone who knows someone that Micheál Martin enjoyed the telly show we did at Christmas time. We did what he was all over it, you know, and he was quite... Yeah. What does that mean, that he enjoyed it? Does that mean that we were too soft on him? Or he kind of goes, yeah. Oh, look at that fella, he's hilarious. And maybe like his friends are going, Michal, that's you. Ah, no, no, no. This one, my net fellow there now, who's very big notions of himself going forward. Very important. There's so much more. There's a lot we don't know about Michal Martin.
Yeah, if you hear back that he liked it, do you have to absolutely put the boot in the future? Like
we had that with Pascal Donoghue once, who was going, I really like the way they do me on that show. And it was very nice. And they were going, oh my God, but he's got such a lovely way of speaking that how can you hate that sort of a man? Because it feels like you hate a children's TV presenter or something. But so we kind of had to invent the fact that he just uses that to disarm people. Because he's really nice to all the Davy Gravy people and the vulture funds, who are lovely and cuddly because they're quite feathery. Vultures can be very cosy too. They give you a big hug as they're destroying the housing market, trebling the number of homelessness and doubling rents for all working people all over the country. And now a song. And everything will be lovely and wosy.
Do you ever wonder that you're... Or is it like you... A kind of a calling to you or like that sometimes politics in the news can be quite complicated and nuanced, and then it's almost like you take a story that takes an hour to explain and you make it into like a 1 minute sketch, and that often your version of events is the bit that's easier for people to digest and they'll go away thinking that's the truth kind of.
I suppose in a way, yeah. I mean, like I started out as a journalist. I'm kind of a failed journalist, basically. I just use funny voices to tell the story. And it is, it's always the most accessible way to do it through comedy, because I sometimes look at it, it's nearly journalism through the medium of comedy in a way. Yeah. And I mean, a really good example is the one where, you know, which story is going to be the most accessible? Is it going to be Davy Stockbrokers, some complicated deal from 6 years ago? Or is it a fella sitting on a dead horse smiling? Do you know, like you're going, which one will the audience enjoy this week? And you can see like that story just took off, and it took over a week for the Davy Stockbrokers story to kind of get into people's heads.
Which was the bigger news story really, like.
Yeah, whereas actually in the scheme of things, when you look back, you kind of go, wow, clearly, you know, a €4 million fine involving terrible scurrilous activity is a much bigger scandal in the scheme of things, because we thought all that stuff was now illegal. You know, we thought when the crash had happened and everything, surely white collar crime is now illegal. It's actually a crime. And the central banks go into a committee and go, it was all terrible what happened. But just to reiterate, none of this was unlawful. And you're going, what? What the fuck was the last 10 years about? And no wonder you end up, you know, talking about the guy on the horse instead, because the world is complicated and you eventually have to find yourself in a supermarket to decide what flavour yogurt you're going to buy this week. And you don't have room in your head. You know, you're like, it's hard to even select ham in a supermarket now. You know, there's 14 different varieties of ham. And I don't know why they even call it crumb. It's not crumb. It's not even crumb. It's a yellow slime. Crumb dam.
This is the Monaghan breaking out in you now.
Yes. You grew up in Monaghan, yeah. Right? Where along the way did you lose the accent? Or did you just never have that struggle? Because we done a show in Carrickmacross one time, and I swear, halfway through the show, I was like, do you want us to do the second half, or will we just fucking go on the piss with you? It's your choice now. You bought the tickets, whatever you want.
Yeah. Like, to really refine things, I'd be in a skein, and Carrick would be like the big metropolis to us, you know?
Yeah.
So it's a good question. My mother's from East Cork, so I always claim that a big clash of like my father have, and he's big Monaghan vowels as broad as fields, you know?
Yeah.
There's a sentence I came up with once which summed up his accent would be, I went to doctor the other day and he told me I broke my arm on a doer. And like,
so
I, on a doer, like all over the doer. And, you know, you're that hungry, you'd eat the back door buttered. Can be, you know, that sort of thing. And that hungry, you'd eat the bobbins of a hearse, is another actual phrase. And you're that thirsty, you'd drink the cross of an ass. Do you know? So, yeah, I could talk like this, but then, like, you know, would I be taken seriously at all, hey? And then my mother's from East Cork, so everything is like, because of like Cork City, which is kind of sing-song, like, and it's really nice. But East Cork is like, oh my God, the thing that happened there, the road of the other day, it goes really high, and then it goes... It's a completely different accent to the West Side, because no one ever says they're from Cork. Well, people generally kind of say, you know, they go from naught to I'm from Cork within 3 seconds of meeting them. But it's always like I'm from Cork City, or I'm from North Cork or West Cork or East Cork, which is, you know, horses and hurling territory.
Oh, yeah.
So I think the two accents cancel the out. There's four of us in the family, siblings, and my brother, the oldest and the youngest, have really strong Monaghan accents, and the two in between have been neutralised. But I did have a stint as a newsreader, and every time I said a Monaghan sounding word, the people would just roll around laughing and go, you said lorry again. And I go, what? What is it then? Oh, it's lorry. And then it's just that it's kind of occupational hazard because of changing my accent, and this is somehow ended up as my speaking voice. Strange sentence that is, isn't it? This is now my speaking voice. I now speak like the way you're supposed to when there's, like, you know, a talk activated phone call you have to do, and it's now, please state your number. Yeah. And if you went 042-966, I'm sorry, that's not recognised. So it kind of comes in useful when I'm kind of going broadband. Whereas if you say broadband, they say, I'm sorry.
Hey, Siri.
I'm sorry, there's no slurry services in this area. Please try again.
Play Callan's Cakes.
You fucking bastard.
Put on your man from Inneskeen.
Hey. Hey, Siri. Hey.
Do you say hey or hi?
No, it's hey, actually, which is kind of closer to what you're saying is hey. So it's like, ah, quit that, hey. Oh, would you quit, hey? It's kind of everything. It's like everybody has just died in the county. Oh, jeez, that's a tower, hey. Or you've just won 10 million. Are you serious, hey? And well, hey. Well, horse box, well, buy. You know, it's a great colloquial.
What made you get into comedy, Oliver? Like, you know, when you were a young lad, it was like...
What made you? Like, community service, 500 hours.
A lad with a gun. Get into comedy, hey.
I kind of was I was into politics, and I was the only one in the house who was into it. And the only bit of reading material came into the house was the Farmer's Journal and the RT Guide. So you can imagine I was very politically informed. And it was kind of like you couldn't do comedy. I wanted to do comedy in that vein because Dermot Morgan was on the go, and he died probably when I was, I think it was 1998, so I was 17. And... but you couldn't select that in the CAO form.
Yeah.
So the closest was journalism in DCU. So I went there and kind of actually stopped doing voices, like impressions for the, because I was obviously taking myself a bit seriously or whatever. And I did a bit of journalism. And then, because I ended up reading the news on Today FM, Mario Rosenstock was doing his thing down the corridor for Gift Grub. And I was sort of the kind of a very minor role sidekick to him during those days, because I still had the day job as a newsreader. And actually, Indokinny was my first character on The Gift Grub, and Plastic Sheeting from many years ago on RT News. And Dave Fanning, I think, was bizarrely a character as well. Yeah, it was fantastic. And I think Bob Geldof was in there as well for some reason. Gift Grub was very miscellaneous.
And Dame O'Dempsey as well. Oh, patient! You know the patient doing a smash on your face! Right there, the passion, the fury.
Very strange kind of collector. And actually, Brian Dobbs, the Dobbo character, also started life out there as well. Still going strong as Ireland's oldest Protestant and sexist. Thank you very much. Yes. I had to wear braces just to stop my trousers going down, because at any minute, my sexiness could overwhelm the nation. Sharon? So that was the crack that went on there. And it kind of, you know, it was... because Mario was kind of, he was a huge star when I was doing the little bits on Gift Grub, because it was around the time that you know, Roy Keane had just left Man United, which was like the zenith of Roy Keane mania in the country. So it was a huge thing, and it was kind of like, I'm going nowhere if I stay here. I'm just going to be reading the news and doing the odd jobbing. And it also wasn't practical, because you were kind of coming into a bit of Gift Grub at 6 o'clock in the morning, but your shift lasted till 7 in the evening. So I kind of just... went off to 2FM, and started on one of Marty Whelan's The Breakfast Show. And Marty Whelan used to get axed just as a tradition every 2 years by RTÉ. I think he might have been skiing when they rang him. They kind of you can picture him and going, "Hello, it's Marty Whelan here." And it's like, "You're axed again." "No problem, yes. Down we go again. Shafted again." And because they've tried to kill him off loads of times. They even tried to replace him on Winning Streak. Do you remember with Nicky Byrne? God, this interview is taking strange turns. Anyway, I ended up on the Jerry Ryan show because Jerry Ryan said... you'll be lost now in that show. You'll be drifted off because the breakfast show was cancelled and I was kind of like not really going anywhere. And Jerry Ryan said, do the thing on our show at 10 o'clock. And it was called Knob Nation. And it did that for 3 years, really. I mean, it ended because the presenter died in 2010. So, I did that for a couple of years. And it was kind of bizarre in my head because I was in Monaghan all the way, all the summers, you know, cleaning milk tanks. Do you know, because we had a dairy farm, listening to the Jerry Ryan show. That's what I kind of grew up listening to. And then suddenly I was doing a 3 minute thing on his show in my 20s. That was kind of like a big moment. And it was just the great mischief and magic of the Jerry Ryan show. I remember like he would finish a show because I kind of made it in the nighttime and I used to join the show on a Friday just to look at him doing it. And he'd be great, great show. And he'd do, you know, the owl lads used to kind of, you know, fellas who would be fiddling around with it at the end of a good show. They'd just tuck in their shirt, but would kind of half open their dress. Jerry was great for that. That's a great one, yeah. Oh, gosh, you really, really struck it to the old bastards tonight, yeah. Great, well done. And then you'd disappear. And he had some brilliant ideas. Like he's the one he kind of started me on. You know, doing Michael Flatley in the Paddy Wackery, you know, up the road and mind the dresser, Safday and all the kind of stuff. And but then everyone started doing Michael Flatley and kind of killed the character off a bit. Even though Michael Flatley himself is still going strong and doesn't understand his own self-irony. But there you go. He went and then I kind of drifted in the wilderness for a couple of years and eventually I did Callan's Kicks. And that was nearly 8 years ago. Wow. There was loads of people doing sport, so I kind of felt I needed to do something different because Après Match and Mario were at their strength and they were both doing loads of kind of sports-related stuff, which is obviously where the volume of the audience is. And I said, what if I just do a niche thing? I could just go really do a deep dive into politics because no one's really doing that area. Now, that's kind of what I did, looking for that gap in the market, shall we say.
But so were you always interested in politics? Because you talked about like reading newspapers at home. And I think, I don't know how many 15 and 16 year olds are at home going like, oh yeah, I love politics. I can't wait to get up in the morning and read all about Irish politics.
There's always political nerds. You know, there's always going to be ones out there. And I'm kind of glad that it didn't turn into me wanting to do politics as opposed to doing this side of it. It was bizarre. I think my granny in Cork was really into current affairs and memories of her go down to Cork in the summers where she would buy every newspaper and it was like, you know, those country houses where no one used plates for breakfast. It's just like the entire table is just one big side plate, just breadcrumbs. And then there was like, she'd get the Dungarvan Observer. And we're talking about like just outside Yall. There was the Imokilly People, which is a local paper there.
Yeah.
Southern Star, the Independent, every newspaper. And she somehow, you know, the radio would be blaring. She was like a mini newsroom. And actually, when she died, we found that she'd kept big files on big stories over the years, like Bishop Eamon Casey scandal, Bobby Sands, all those kind of stuff. So it probably came a little bit from there because we were the most unpolitical house, unless you count me father roaring at the television going, that gobshite, the fuck does he know? That fucking Bertie Ahern has no fucking clue.
Hey, we're from Tipperary. That counts as political. You know what I mean? You could do a whole Tipperary special. Matty McGrath, Lowry, come on.
Don't get us started on Tipperary, do you know? Kind of like Lowry's like a sophisticated Healy Ray, isn't he?
Yeah. He's just got a better suit.
And he's only the second richest TD in the Dáil. I think Michael Healy Ray is number one, isn't he? The kind of Dáil rich list.
You must thank your lucky stars, like when the Healy Ray says something brilliant in the Dáil. Like you must be just going, thanks a million, lads. That saved me 3 hours of writing now. That's fantastic. Thank you.
Well, no, because it's like, something funny happens in the doll and you should go in and you exaggerate it to make the point. But then when it's the Healy Rays, it's kind of already done, you know. But so you just kind of start roaring. It's funny, actually, I made the ad for Callan's Kicks, where it's like, it's kind of Micheál Martin, oh, Callan's Kicks is coming back. Oh, I can't wait. OMFG. I love laughing at myself. I'm so relatable. And then you have to kind of do the mandatory. So Michael, you go, it's on RT Radio 1 at 6:30. I just thought, how will I do? Because I had to put the line in that you listen back on the RT player. So I said, oh, just get Michael Healy Ray. So you go back for the mic and go, I'm the RT Radio player! You know, there's no exaggeration required. He's like the Serie A commentator from years ago.
Goal! <It's you!
laughs> And that'll be €3 for the takeout at Lemonade. And I used to try to differentiate between the two Healy Rays, but I just gave up, and it's just kind of Danny. It's just a slightly lower version of her. Do I go like that? Sometimes I like. He's kind of talking like half the dinner is inside his mouth still. What? God!
You know, we had Michael Healy Ray on the podcast one day.
For a live podcast, yeah.
Yeah, like it was a full hour. We never got into politics.
Live.
He just came in and told us stories about a dog had been knocked down in the village, and we got about an hour out of this. Like, it was brilliant.
It was brilliant, yeah. It was really.
He got an hour and he topped the poll, even though there wasn't an election that day. There was just 15,000 votes showed up.
100%.
Like, they could move, you could put them on the Upper Hebrides in Scotland, you know, for a week. People go, who are these guys coming along? And then over the week, it's like, we're top of the poll in the Upper Hebrides. We have Jack Healy Ray, who's now the mayor of Hebridean. There we go. And I have a mace as well. Britain's first mace. We had made a million profits on brigettes alone the first week. Come on! He must have holograms of himself. How does he like run plant hire a mace shop? You know,
they all just landlording. They all just wear paddy caps. Jeez. And nobody knows the difference.
Yeah. I mean, how closely do you ever look at Michael Healy Ray? You know?
Just keep the head down.
I think every time they've been on the Late Late Show, they've tried to give Ryan Tuberty one of the caps, and like. It's like that scene in, is it The Prestige, you know, where all the hats keep appearing in David Bowie's yard, the Tesla yard. It's a bit of an outdoor there description. Sorry about that. There's like a pile of caps. Yeah. Ryan Tuberty just has a late, late closet of caps. Ha! Way! When the late, late audience comes back, you can have an entirely Healy Ray hatted audience. It's just to mess with everyone. Because down in Kerry, we have got vaccines for everyone in the county, thanks to Healy Ray Vaccine Distribution.
I am surprised. I'm surprised he hasn't chanced it. Do you know what the vaccine side?
Will there be a vaccine bus, actually? That would be more their style. We are bussing them up to Belfast for the vaccine. And, from West Cork, why not? We'll stick them in. Sure, you know, might have a few ancestors in Kerry, they can stick a vote. Stick a stroke. The Healy Ray branded syringes.
They qualify to vote on the grandmother rule, like Irish soccer. Yeah.
And all's well in the world now. Callan's Kicks is back, and hopefully you'll be back doing your live show soon. I'm assuming you can't wait to get back on the road.
Can't wait to do that. It was this time last year, actually, and it's a pity that the fellas who had bats for breakfast just didn't get. Like, it would have suited if they got the virus maybe out in January before I had spent 2 months writing the thing. Because I got to do one rehearsal show, and then the whole thing was dead. And that was kind of a weird one, because I don't know when the tour is going to happen. I have to do it because people bought tickets. And I don't know how much notice I'm going to get, because it all has to be rewritten, because stupidly decided to do topical comedy. So, but at the same time, if someone told me I had to do the show tomorrow, you could probably just waffle for an hour and a half. And people are so desperate to get out, they'll roll around the floor laughing, going, "Jez, the best show I've ever seen. That was amazing." Amazing. What was his name again? Don't give a shite. I was actually facing the back wall, and it was wild crack. First time I've seen Magella. First time I've seen Magella now. Just since that affair had to stop after lockdown. Just, it was fierce hard on the Zoom. It wasn't the same on the Zoom.
Oh. Can I get one more in? We've started playing this game amongst ourselves and on the podcast, trying to guess what people have for breakfast.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
it's tremendous crack. So we're going to ask you what you have for breakfast.
Right. Do I have for breakfast today?
In general. What do you have for breakfast?
I can be really specific. A porridge I had this morning, and I went for the jumbo flakes flavins.
Okay.
Because it's the only outing you get, I tried to stretch the supermarket trip to about an hour, which is why I spend, you know, 20 minutes at the ham aisle. And then I started looking at products and never, because you always just went for the Progress oatlets. But now I went, there's jumbo oat flakes. What are they like?
I didn't see that coming. I didn't see porridge coming, I'm going to be honest.
There you go. So what was the guess? A fucking full Irish.
No, I thought you'd be fucking French toast or something.
Yeah, maybe avocado toast or something, I thought. I'm in the avocado camp now.
Oh, you thought I was going to have avocado toast?
Yes.
Don't like avocado at all. Don't. It's just green gloop. I always think avocado is what everything tastes like if you get COVID and you lose your sense of taste and smell. Everything must taste like avocado then.
Now you're offending listeners. Yeah.
Oliver, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thanks so much for coming on, and best of luck with the new series of Callan's Kicks.
Thanks a million, lads. It's been good crack. It's a pity we didn't get to talk about, you know, my life in small farms.
Hello?
Mastitis and, you know, bastings and all that kind of crack. But we'll do that the next time.
And Callan's Kicks is back on air this Friday, March the 19th at 6:30 p.m. on RT Radio 1. And he also puts out a podcast of it as well if you want to check it out. Doctor once asked him, have you ever been bedridden? He said several times, and once in a van. It's time for Noel Furlong, and it's time for Noel's News.
Noel's News! It's Noel's News!
How long for that?
Well, Noel,
when are you going to start this intro music? Look, do you know who you should get to do the music?
Well,
Little Mix.
Little Mix?
They're very good. And what were the chances of getting four fellas named Mick?
Little Mix, I like it.
They're only young fellas. Mick Power, Mickey Buckley, Mick Bourne, Mick Keneally. Little Mix. They're brilliant. I seen them.
Did you? Where?
Down the town. Around the town. John Paul was on to me then. He said we should get Kings of Leon.
Oh, Kings of Leon.
Yeah, no, but I said I wouldn't know any of the French lads. No. I know the King of Clusty. Did you ever see him?
Who, the King of Clusty?
Yeah. Works in a petrol station. Washing cars. He's fairly burnt from the drink.
Is he?
Yeah, but he wears the crown. Wears the crown in more of a ceremonial position. I don't think it has any
He's self-appointed.
Well, I don't know if any legal standing now, but he tells me he rules as far as Federt.
Okay.
And Cluneen the other side.
Okay.
There's a good bit of a want in him. Good bit of a... Come to think of it, the crown could be made out of empty tins of beans. I have seen him drink petrol, but that's the King of Colossi.
That's the King, man.
He's a character. Mm. He's a character, right? Also, in the news this week, the English monarchy were in the news this week.
Yes.
Fucked a lot of them. Shower of bastards.
Oh my God.
I don't know what to make him. Do you know Willie, right?
Who? William.
William, yeah, right? His wife, Kate.
Yeah.
Right? Fair young woman, mother of God. Her father is a descendant of King Edward III. And her mother is a direct descendant of King Edward IV.
Oh.
The old queen who's in now, whatever her name is, you know, the queen, right? Her great-great-grandmother was Queen Victoria. Prince Philip, who she'd married to. You know him?
Yeah.
Mad bastard, God be good to him. He's sick now. He's on the way out, I'd say.
No.
He's shook. He is shook. What do you want me to say? He's not doing the fucking high jump, like. He's old and he's shook. God be good to him. What more do you want?
Yeah.
The Queen's great-grandmother is Queen Victoria. And Prince Philip, who he's married to, his great-grandmother, also Queen Victoria.
Wow.
And in the middle, both of their people are married to the Danish royal family. they're related on both sides.
Wow.
They're holding onto their sperm like it's the communion money. And now the royal family, like, they're probably, do you know what, a bit of matchmaking, to be fair, in those days, deciding.
Possibly.
They have a hand. Yeah. Like, this isn't like Port Leash where you accidentally marry your cousin. Like, they're doing it intentionally. No wonder people pay to go and look at him. Huh?
Who's paying to go?
They're on the whole lot of them inside the one house on the fucking scratch. Do you know what I mean? Scratch. Or they don't work.
No, technically, I suppose, yeah.
So factually, like, right.
It's good to hear you're in Parish, Lenny.
Well, I don't know that they had to get a medical card or what, like. And the county councillor. Kept my house. Whatever, but anyway. From monarchy.
Yes.
More news now, news. To democracy gone fucking strange. China, right? Do you remember when you were a child and you might get a tie and it might say made in Hong Kong?
Yeah.
That's because you were spoiled.
Okay.
We had no ties. We only had each other. But Hong Kong, the Brits had Hong Kong for a long time and they only gave it back to China in 97. But they had just kind of a halfway house where Hong Kong was going to have its own rules and its own elections and their own county championship or whatever. They were kind of doing their own thing. But China has been kind of tightening the circle, the old grip on Hong Kong. And they have a new law. That's the news. They have a new law passed where anybody who wants to run for the election in Hong Kong must be vetted by a committee of lads who were all kind of Chinese lads.
Okay.
So what fucking good is that? You can't go get him. I said, you're nearly as bad as the G8 club below.
Come on now.
They're nearly.
Okay.
Do you know what I heard? There'd be fellas, ringing fellas, before meetings. Oh, we'll do this. Oh, don't let Noel train young lads. Oh, Noel baits him with a shovel. Noel makes him sleep in the wood if they lose. Like, this is going on all the time, right? So before the last meeting, I said, I'm going to ring lads. I have the mobile.
Yeah.
I have the mobile. But I've fucking no one's number. So I rang home to Carmel to get me the numbers. Who answered the phone? Davy Ryan.
Who?
Davy Ryan answered the phone. He said, how are you, Noel? I said, what do you mean, how are you, Noel? What the fuck are you doing in my house? He said, Noel, this is my house. I said, because it's not. Right? He said, Noel, I'm living here every day of the week. I said, Davy, I'm in that house 40 years. I think I'd notice if there was another man living in it. Put Carmel on. He said, no, Carmel's not here. I said, well, where the fuck is she? What have you done with her, Davy? He said, no, this isn't your house. I said, Davy, you're only making it worse for yourself. If I have to come down to you. Turns out, I had the wrong number. So now, I don't know what to do. I'm after telling him I'd give him a baiting. So, I mean, if I don't, I'll just look silly. What am I going to do?
You're going to have to just sort that out.
I'm sorting him out. So China, you know yourselves. That's the news on that front. But, you know, family can be tough. Family can be tough.
Can be tough, yeah.
You know, local news now. Did you hear the Maloney brothers? They don't talk anymore.
Go away.
Desperate, Sage. Desperate. Fucking desperate. Like, all their lives, they're fucking shoving on. All their lives, you would never see one without the other, you know? Mm. And they had it tough growing up.
Did they?
Desperate. That farm was the wettest, wildest, windiest, it's the worst land in Ireland that they got out there. And their father died young, years before they were born. And the mother too. They were reared by their aunt. Okay. Yeah, no relation. And they had it tough. And you'd never see one without the other.
Yeah.
That house had no running water. Jeez. When they were small. No central heating.
Wow.
No insulation. No electricity. Just did our electric fire. And nowhere to plug it in. But they'd huddle around it anyway. They came across the field to us one day and we were small. I'll never forget it. Could they borrow a cup of sugar? The mother gave it to him, being neighbourly, you know. They said they went home and fucked it straight into the fire.
Why?
Actually, they had it tough. When they went to school, they had...
Bad in your lad.
When they went to school, they had no lunch.
Go away.
Only dinner. They had gravy running out of their pockets. Desperate tough. Desperate. And they'd be inside in school and they'd have a fork in their hand. And they'd be trying to eat an old carrot out of their pocket. What? And up the jumper without the master seeing them, you know. Roast beef. All cooked on the electric fire. They had it tough.
Desperate.
And you never see one without the other. You know? And she worked in by hard. The ground out there was so bad. They were grazing sheep on the roof. They'd be eating the moss out of the gutters.
Jeez.
That's a fact. Manny's a sheep plunged to its death off Maloney's roof. Wow. That's a fact. Anyhow, for a finish, the old aunt died.
Okay.
Hit by a ram.
Go away. Jesus Christ, that's desperate.
And the desperate news. The boys had a falling out anyway.
Oh, God.
Two brothers. She left the farm to one of them, which was terrible because you'd never see one without the other.
Yeah.
And she left the farm to one of them. But neither of them could remember which one they were. Because you'd never see one without the other. They had it tough.
There you go. Remember who they are. Yes.
So I know what they're going to do.
Oh, it's desperate.
I know what they're going to do.
Oh.
One of them is going to have to get that film. No point trying to sell it to no one buy it. It's pure cash. But they had it tough.
Thank you very much, Noel.
And be careful who you're ringing.
Yeah.
Good luck.
See you later. That was an experience. Okay, it's been a tough week for her because this week officially marks 1 year since she's been in Coppers.
Oh.
Wow, that is heartbreaking stuff. Maureen, what's your mystery topic this week?
Just before we move on, International Men's Day is 19th of November, so you can put that in your diary and,
I look forward to that day immensely, Maura.
Maybe Annie will do the hoovering for you that day. So
listen, I don't, you know, hopefully.
Yes, we won't be around because we'll be having a parade. A big paper mache set of balls on a tractor.
Right, so, okay, you might note that it's currently Seacht an na Gaeilge, which runs from the 1st to the 17th of March. So it says it's week of Irish, but it's actually over a fortnight long. But sure, listen.
Danic says
so Irish. So I thought we'd have a bit of a wrong Gaeilge, if you fancy it.
Hey.
Now, people look down on the Irish language, but it's actually given the world a lot. It was really weird. I was recently listening to Trevor Noah's book, Born a Crime, his audio book, and he grew up in the townships and he started talking about the shebeens in the townships. And I was like, God, that's an Irish word.
In South Africa?
Yeah, that's what they call their... So in the townships, they don't... like. Back in time of apartheid, there would have been like basically a lot of illegal pubs running. And that's what they called them. They called them shebeens. So... mad that it's gone the whole way to the Southern Hemisphere. There's other words that have gone from Irish into English, but we'll get to that later on. So, thought I might try give you a couple of fuckles. So, any idea what the Irish word is for orgasm?
No. I know the sound of it, but...
Orgasm. I'm just going to pronounce all these words as Dahi O'Shea. Orgasm. It's a...
Imoniot, no?
No, not the it's Irish sugar. For hurling. It's a lot like I think I love about Irish, it's very onomatopoeic, which means it's very, you know, sounds like what it actually means. So the Irish word for orgasm is sunas. So if you want to add it to plural, it's sunas. There's an I thrown in there after that.
A monoh. Sunas.
Plural is better, Mara, yes.
Now, the Catholic Church had a massive influence on the Irish language. So say if, you know, the greeting to say hello in Irish is Dia Gwich, literally means God be with you.
Yeah.
So the Irish for masturbation is Féin Trúlú, which literally means self-polluting. So
Church of a lot to answer for.
Yeah.
Ispralum.
Self-polluting. That is like something your ma would say or something, isn't it? He's above there polluting himself, you know.
The Irish for sexual intercourse is Cadar of Cully, which kind of loosely translates as a sleeping relationship. Hmm. But like riding, shagging, the term
Egmarkiacht,
no, vime egbula kraken, which means I was literally slapping skin. So vime egbula kraken a rare. Oh, so
wait,
yeah.
What was the first one for a sleeping relationship again?
Cadar of Cully, sexual intercourse. So.
There's got to be like a slang abbreviation of that.
Yeah,
we need to get on to our Gael Talks correspondence on Monaghan.
So, Cadar of Cully, I wonder is that where like codding comes from? No. Are you codding me?
The Irish for penis, so there's a bit of slang here. So, slot, no, bud. So, you could all. Vi slat morega means he the big Mickey, and then BOD it also means penis. So there, if you ever want to use that word,
BOD,
yeah, foreskin
as in the rugby player.
Yes,
there he is on television, big penis himself.
The Irish for foreskin is forecracken. So it's cracking a skin, so it's not that much of a leap of imagination for cracking. I thought this was interesting. Any idea of the Irish for nipple?
Whoa, one sec. But cracking, isn't that like a word we use in English? Crackling. Like skin.
Crackling.
Yeah, in a restaurant, you'd have like crackling off bacon or chicken.
I wouldn't have put the crackling from pork now.
Yeah, but like, just if
you know, with a foreskin.
Is cracking the word for skin in Irish not similar to like crackling?
Yeah.
The animal skin in English?
They would have never done that. But fair juice, lad. You work in different ways.
Yep.
Yeah. Any idea for the Irish for nipple?
Neopple.
No, it's actually did you, which is kind of interesting because I wonder if that's where the term, you know, diddies comes from. Did you?
Oh. Spell it there, Mara, please.
D-I-D-E.
Did you?
D-I-D-E.
Yeah.
No fathers or anything.
No.
That's pure diddy.
Yeah, it is, yeah. Some
slap out your diddies.
Yeah.
Now, if you want to abuse somebody and slag them off, you want to give them that. So, if you want to call someone a bit of a dimwit, you call them a muelon. Or my favourite word. So, this is like a greedy freeloader, right? The literal translation of this word is swollen cheeked little parasite. So this word is pluck shadanin. Yeah, it's tussa pluck shadanin.
Cool.
Yeah. Now the Irish, there's a couple of Irish sayings here, basically terms of if you want to abuse somebody. A lot of the Irish terms have to do with like the devil doing something to you. I hope the devil, you know, breaks your spine. I hope the devil breaks your knees. So the ones that is like most popular is the devil. I hope the devil breaks your bones. Gomrusha on Dival Duknava. There's this one that I don't really understand the context of it, but apparently it's an Irish term of abuse. So it's like literally translates that you may be badly positioned on a windy day. Drukard quigatla grias.
Wow. Just rolls off the tongue.
Yeah. Another one is I hope you die without a priest. Govayana was gone on Sogart. And then this is the harshest term I've ever heard, is that you may have red diarrhea. Bunak jarag gujigiart.
Nobody wants that. Yeah. I'd rather die without a priest than the devil ate me than that one.
Yeah. So just a couple of quick other words there that have come in from Irish to English. So you know the slang term that became popular in the late 60s and 1970s, like in, especially in America, guys saying, you dig, man, you dig. Yeah,
or digging to.
Yeah, that's exactly what it comes from. Do you understand? And also, the word galore. So you remember Pussy Galore from Goldfinger?
Yeah.
That's literally taken from the Gaelic phrase galore, which means plenty. So, and wow. Pussy also comes from Irish as well. So like the Irish word puss means like it's an informal expression for someone kind of when their lips pursed. So according to IrishCentral.com, it's from here that the slang word for female genitals pussy is also derived.
What?
And finally... Yes, apparently so. And finally, slogan. So this is derived from the word Slugarum, which usually referred to the battle cry of an Irish clan. So like Slugarum means the, you know, the cry of the or the roar of the group. So that's how the word slogan comes from. So it's, you know, a motto associated with a political party or movement.
So galore, we would. That comes from the Irish galore.
Galore, yeah. G-O-L-E-O-R.
Jeez, that's very similar, yeah?
Yeah, so there you go.
I feel
go.
Like I'm back in the Gaelic talk. All I'm missing is a Ceilidh dance and a good shift.
Yeah. 13-a-side football.
Yeah. Thanks, Maura.
Yeah, hopefully that'll, you know, give lads something for their Irish oral, you know. So.
Do you know what? For next week's podcast, we'll do the links, Oscuelga.
All right.
How does that sound? Yeah, so
Mahambukli.
One on the, I had some friends living in Kenya,
right,
and South Africa, talking about those shivins, like those townships. The big problem is that a lot of guys are brewing their own beer.
Oh, we're drinking that.
And as you can imagine, it wouldn't be the most scientific or hygienic. So there was a huge whole campaign around like Southern Africa to try and get people to drink beer made in a factory, because the shit they were drinking out of the townships was absolute rocket fuel. People losing their mind. Yeah. I kind of want to try it.
Some crack though. Thanks, Maura. Don't forget to rate, review, and tell your friends about the Two Johnnies podcast. Use the hashtag Two Johnnies Pod to spread the good word. And you can also get in touch. Podcast at thetwojohnnies.ie is our email address. We're on Instagram at thetwojohnnies. And you want to hear discussed any correspondence, horse it into us. Now, it's time to end the podcast, as is tradition, with our
Yurts and Dirts
of the week. Don't forget, Yurt and Dirt is sponsored this week by Apple Green. They're celebrating their 100% Irish breakfast roll.
That's right. All the ingredients are Irish. And we did a sketch this week about which of us was more Irish. Tongue in cheek these days. Don't anybody try and cancel us. So one of the things said in it was like, oh, I've got Olé Olé tattooed on my arse.
Yeah.
Because this is like Irish soccer fans still sing Olé Olé after Italian 90 21 years ago.
Not just soccer fans, even when we're in nightclubs and like the music stops, people just start, listen, we'll start Olé Olé anywhere.
Man, I've been at a Metallica concert and in between songs they have like, you know, graphics coming up on the screen and like thunder and gunshots and the crowd are like, Olé Olé, and the singer's like, okay, enough now. So Olé Olé is not Italian, as we thought, because it's in the song, like, the Irish chants for Italian 90. We thought it to be Italian, but no, it's there was a Mexican song released, so it'd be Spanish. A Mexican song released for 88 or World Cup 86, and that came from a French song where it was originally Allez, 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 Allez.
Yeah,
there you go. So Olé Olé, not even a proper word.
Yeah, but when you're drunk, you don't care. So thanks a million to Apple Green for sponsoring Yurt and Dirt, and we enjoyed doing the old sketch. And if you want to have a sure look, St. Patrick himself was famously reared on breakfast rolls from Apple Green, as we all know.
Not in the Bible.
Not according to the Bible.
I don't know if St. Patrick's even in the Bible. He must be in the Bible, is he?
I don't know.
He's not in the Bible.
There's another question.
Oh, he fucking should be.
Anyway, John, Yurt and Dirt, what have you got for me?
Oh, yes. I was watching old Zac Efron. He's touring around there on Netflix.
Down to Earth.
Down to Earth. God love him, I'd say he's a harmless old devil.
Do you reckon?
Oh, like you see him in films and he's like the coolest dude ever and all the girls. I think Zac Efron like looks at a girl, parts of her body just fall off. He's that handsome. But you want to see him when he's just been himself. His hand was so difficult. There's a whole episode about water. Right? It's a bit thin on ideas.
Right,
but
okay. Well, I can't imagine us sitting in a meeting now with RTÉ going, okay, we had this idea. Close your eyes, think water.
But in my yurt is that, so in lots of parts of France, and especially in all of Paris, drinking water is free. So you bring your own bottle, and there's all these fountains around the city, even sparkling water.
Oh, wow.
There's sparkling water fountains all across Paris now. And so nobody buys bottled water in Paris anymore. There's vending machines that just sell empty, reusable bottles.
Okay.
Genius. Isn't that so cool?
That is good, yeah, that is good.
That's my yurt of the week.
Fair to use them. My yurt is, I just seen this during the week. If you press your lock button 5 times in a row on your iPhone, it emits a loud siren, then counts down from 3, calls the emergency services, and sends a text to your emergency contacts alerting them of your situation and location. So if you want to set this up on your iPhone,
yeah,
do it on Androids as well. You search emergency SOS in your settings, and then you can set it up. So I actually have you down, you and Annie. You're good to answer the phone.
God help you.
Don't, like, you should not put me as your emergency contact. But look, you know, there's a lot of scary things happening out there, and it is for both men and women, and it is scary at the moment. So I've set it up. So it's just a handy function to have. You never know when you're going to need it when you're in trouble.
Press your lock button 5 times.
Press your, yeah. So on the iPhone, the lock button here, 5 times.
But you could do it now and cancel it, could you?
Yeah, I can do it now and cancel it.
I just want to hear the noise.
Really quick, so hold on now.
Class.
And obviously I've stopped calling. But yeah, it sends a call to the emergency service.
That's very good, John.
It is very handy. So just, yeah, bear that in mind. People should just set it up. You never know. You never know when you'll need it.
Okay, my dirt of the week is the massive coverage that an English TV host quit his job. And it seems to be all over the news and social media. And I just feel like everybody...
You don't like Piers Morgan?
It's not that I don't like him. I couldn't give a shit. It's not news. Look at all the things that are happening in the world. It's not news. So, look, people love gossip. I know that. And then same with, like, fucking Meghan and Harry.
Yeah.
I take it
you didn't watch the interview.
No, I didn't watch the interview. Why would I? And a mate of mine, I was telling you, he's over in Australia, and he said he's been off the drink for all, like, he does this every year, gives up drink in the early part of the year. He said he came home and the wife had it on. 5 minutes, he said he was down the pub on a Monday night on his own. He broke out on the drink rather than watching it. And I don't understand, like, how are they on the cover of so many magazines in Ireland? Like, people obviously do care. Somebody's buying those magazines. Like, this is capitalist society. Like, people are obviously buying the magazines or else they wouldn't do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a rating sensation for RTÉ. I think 750,000 people tuned in to watch it. So
it's probably the highest rating thing this year or last year, I would say.
I have to say, all you don't have much to be doing.
It is lockdown. Don't judge us. I was just curious. I watched it. It was curious.
It was recorded on my Skybox. I haven't watched it now. Someone else living in my house will be watching it.
It gets more news time than it deserves. Did you see the riots in Mexico this week? They had all female riots on International Women's Day. It was the strangest thing ever. Like, riots, you know, a lot of men normally at riots. It was so weird to see, like, thousands of women just baiting the police. It was the fucking strangest thing ever. That was in the news.
Why were they rioting?
Women's rights.
Okay.
There you go. That wasn't in the news.
Do you have a makey uppy word or?
Plum Awesome.
Plum Awesome, boy. You're some Plum Awesome, you are.
There is no English word for it.
Okay.
There is no direct translation.
Plum Awesome.
It's kind of a disingenuous.
Yeah, my mother robs you. Like, don't be Plum Awesome me now.
Yeah, it's like when somebody's obviously paying you a compliment, but they don't mean it.
They're Plum Awesome.
Yeah.
Plum Awesome.
Probably blowing smoke up your arse is probably the most better translation for it. So
I don't have a dirt this week, really.
Oh, good.
Yeah, no, I also just, I became more of a man this week.
Really?
Yeah, our oil ran out.
Yeah.
And I just bled the oil. Because I'm a man, you know. I went out. Now, under the instruction of Annie. But, you know, you have to learn these things, don't you? Someone has to show you how to do them. Bled the aisle by. I walked back inside. I booted the fucking chair over and said, I'm going to have a cup of tea. And I don't even drink tea. I just, like you, lad, but so on your spuds. But I just bled the aisle by. I got the fucking heating back going. I saved the day.
I bet you felt like, do you know that Bruce Springsteen video where he plays a mechanic?
100% that. I'm thinking about buying one of those trolley things that I can slide in and out of stuff with. I just want to just be going around the kitchen on me back, just like, yeah.
It's Max being overalls with oil all over his face going, I think it's your carburetor.
Oh my God, on that bombshell, another week down.
Gee, maybe your house needs new spark plugs, I don't know.
If you see me just doing the luge now down the road on the little trolley I bought. From me, Johnny Smacks.
From me, Johnny B.
From me, Maura.
We'll see you next week. Mind yourself.
Happy St. Patrick's Day. Thanks for listening. Good luck.